We stand for our verse and reading of our passage. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame.
And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 that died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "let it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Can you see the bird?
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Looking back over the past decade or so, it's easy to see that we have become a society that are the masters of outrage. Just look at Washington, D.C., and you'll see it every day. The president or the cabinet member says something or gives an order, and people all over cable news and social media begin immediately to melt down. "I am more outraged by this injustice than you are," they claim. Of course, one person's outrage is simply cost-cutting to another. The key to getting more clicks, more likes, more follows, is to make sure that you are the first and that you are the loudest over the perceived injustice you are outraged about. Never let a good crisis go to waste, it's often said, especially when it comes to injustice. Now, while it is helpful and necessary to take action against clear injustices in the world, we often run the danger of letting injustices fool us. "Look at the wickedness of those people over there," we shout when we think that someone is getting what they deserve. But you see, today's gospel isn't about what is deserved, but it is about repentance, and in particular, our need for it. See, if you look back at the end of chapter 12 in Luke's gospel, Jesus closes with a discourse about being reconciled to each other before it's too late. And then chapter 13 begins with Luke pointing out that there are some who are with Jesus. Presumably they heard what he had to say in chapter 12, and now they are apparently wanting to apply it. Perhaps the area where Jesus was all abuzz about the news of this terrible tragedy. And they asked Jesus to comment on the event. Well, it turns out that there were several Galileans who were murdered by Pilate. Now, we don't really know much of the details of what happened. We do know that Galileans, it was often thought, were the ones who would revolt if any did, because they were surrounded by Gentiles. But what we do know is that these Galileans were murdered while they were worshiping. Think Dylann Roof, who shot up a South Carolina church 10 years ago. killing 10 people. Or in 2019, 250 Easter worshipers were killed by suicide bombers in Sri Lanka. Awful, unimaginable events that invoke outrage in anyone who hears them, much like those asking Jesus about their countrymen killed at worship. However, the way the men phrased the question to Jesus, they must have implied that they were perhaps worse sinners than others. And they could see it by what happened to them. Well, Jesus is not going to let this stand. I tell you, no, Jesus replies. The victims of Pilate's sanctioned violence were not more wicked than the crowd around Jesus, than even those men who are asking the question. For Jesus, sin is sin, and everyone needs to repent of it. And to make his point further, he adds another similar example. Now, there is no historical record about a tower, the Tower of Siloam, falling on people in Jerusalem. Those 18 were those 18 more wicked than those Pilate had murdered during worship? Again, those people were no more sinners than those who were standing in front of Jesus. And so then, they are in the same need of repentance. For Jesus says, unless you repent, you will perish. The same attitude or idea is still very prevalent today in our own society. 20 years ago, when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, so many said that they were being paid back for being such an evil city. But this certainly falls outside of what we call our doctrine of sin. For we do not believe that God sits around looking for someone who he can zap in the midst of some particular sin. But we can say with certainty that tragic events in our world are a consequence of sin in general. And when we see tragedy in our world, our first move is to distance ourselves from it. The people in our text, they avoided the reality of sin by placing blame on the victims. They must have really been awful people, weren't they? And by that logic, it says, but that will never happen to me because I guess I'm not so sinful, right? This thought process is all too common in our minds. How easy it is to blame the person who suffers from cancer by saying, must have been all those cigars and all that awful food he ate most of his life. And thus we convince ourselves that if we just eat right and go to the gym on a regular basis, then sickness and disease won't come to us. See, instead, tragedy and death should remind us of our own sinfulness and our own need for repentance. All of us here have been to funerals before. I know because I've seen you there. Some were for loved ones, some were for close friends. And while attending, have you ever been motivated to sit there and contemplate your own mortality? It's sort of hard not to at that time, because the effects of sin are sitting right there in front of us for all to see. When will my day come, we often ask. In January, I was asked to be a pallbearer for my friend Kurt Song's funeral in Minnesota. And at the end of the graveside service, I told his wife, I never thought that I would carry my friend to his grave. And someday, a friend of mine will carry me. Not because of some particular sin, but because we are all sinful. We are all need to repent because one day we will all die. And the one who dies without repentance and forgiveness will perish eternally. This is very serious stuff. And Jesus illustrates it with a parable about a non-fruit-bearing fig tree. The farmer decides to give it one more year, and that's it. In other words, the axe of judgment is poised to strike every one of us down until Jesus interceded. The axe of judgment has been delayed, but not forever. It can swing down at any time. Therefore, the need is urgent. The time for repentance is now. And thanks be to Jesus that he does intercede for us and has reconciled us back to the Father. By his death and resurrection, we have new life. Life through repentant forgiveness. Even the sin of thinking we don't really need to repent like those people over there. Jesus becomes the ultimate vine dresser here that did what it took to restore us to life. I will dig around them. I will fertilize them with my precious holy blood, and they too will bear fruits of faith through the Spirit. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, calls the fruits of the Spirit. He says, by the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Through the Spirit, we love our neighbor and we bear their burdens with them. We don't point and say, what sinful people. And through the Spirit, we have been reconciled to the Father so that the last day will not be a terrible day of judgment, but a day of new life for us. And as we wait for that day, we continue to live a life of repentance, studying our Lord's word and clinging to it, treating each day as if this is the last day that we receive the gift of forgiveness. See, we live in a world well-versed in the art of rationalizing away sin as if it is not really sin at all. We too might be tempted to think of sin and judgment applying to others, making excuses for our sin while looking to God to punish them. Rather than living in willful ignorance, our Lord Jesus called us to use the experience of tragedy in this world as a reminder that death waits all of us. But thanks be to God, for he has delivered his Son into death in our place, that we may not die eternally. May our Lord keep us faithful in repentance until the day he returns to bring us to our heavenly home with him. Thank you.